Make Yourself an Ark, Part 3, The New Age Exposed. In the 12th chapter of the Apocalypse, verse 12, we have the following. Woe to the earth, because the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, knowing that he hath but a short time. Chapter 20 of the Apocalypse tells us what happens to the devil when that short time is up. An angel comes down from heaven and casts Satan bound into the bottomless pit and seals it for 1,000 years, so that he should no more seduce the nations. Verse 3. What an important moment that will be. The removal of the wretched, powerful, fallen archangel Lucifer, who had the effrontery to, as it were, stand between the Creator and his creation and represent himself to creatures as the source of that twin power that fructifies that creation. Let there be light, increase and multiply. The more the nations were seduced by Lucifer, the more their inhabitants sank into the dreadful mire generated through pagan fertility rites and phallic worship, core ingredients of the Jewish cabal and the Gnosticism of Freemasonry. As the Freemason Ragon once wrote, the Kabbalah is the key to the occult sciences. The Gnostics were born of the Kabbalists. In the Masonic publication New Age of January 1989, Scottish Rite Sovereign Grand Commander Fred Kleinneck wrote, the apex of our teachings has been the rituals of our degrees and morals and dogma written by Sovereign Grand Commander Albert Pike over a century ago. But in that morals and dogma, Pike had written, Masonry is a search after light. The search leads us directly back, as you see, to the Kabbalah. Kabbalah alone consecrates the alliance of the universal reason and the divine word. Everything scientific and grand in the religious dreams of all the Illuminati, Jacob Boheme, Swedenborg, San Martin and others, is borrowed from the Kabbalah. All the Masonic associations owe to it their secrets and their symbols. Lucifer, the son of the morning, it is he who bears the light. Knowledge of nature had for its symbolic key the gigantic form of that huge sphinx. Masonry is a worship. Every Masonic lodge is a temple of religion, and its teachings are instruction in religion. Masonry, around whose altars the Christian, the Hebrew, the Muslim, the Brahmin, the followers of Confucius and Zoroaster can assemble as brethren and unite in prayer to the one God who is above all, the Baalim. End of the quotation. Baalim or Baal is defined in the dictionary as a fertility god or a false god or idol. So much for the evil paganism of Masonry. The reference of Pike to Baal reminds one that the prophet Elijah destroyed the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and just before the great miracle of the sun at Fatima on October 13, 1917, that was witnessed by some 70,000 people, Lucia saw a vision of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Scripture tells us that Elijah was taken up while still alive, and some believe that he will return in the reign of the Antichrist, charged with the task of converting the Jews. See Ecclesiasticus 48, verse 10. The Pope of Masonry, Albert Pike, has proclaimed in his key book, Morals and Dogma, that everything in all the Masonic associations is rooted in the Jewish Kabbalah. But, as has already been shown in these tapes, the Jewish Kabbalah is a library of literature dealing with magic, spiritism, and based on sheer pantheism. It proclaims a non-existence of evil and a deification of man, and all this points to the Kabbalah as the source of many modern isms. According to American Freemason Dr. McKay in the Lexicon of Freemasonry, page 323, there was besides the divine Kabbalah of the children of Seth, the magical Kabbalah of the children of Cain. Out of the evil Kabbalah of Cain grew the Babylonian Talmud. The historian Nesta Webster, in her book Secret Societies and Subversive Movements, page 11, quotes an authority, the Musso, who had made a profound study of occultism and asserted the fact of the two Kabbalahs, one good and one evil, as also did the converted Jew, Drac. It is this evil Kabbalah of the children of Cain, the source book of the Jewish Talmud, that has given to the books of the Talmud, the Sefer Yetzirah and the Zohar, oral traditions that were eventually recorded in print. These oral traditions that were written into the Talmud had borrowed from the paganism of the star worshippers of Chaldea, adepts in astrology and necromancy, as well as the sorcery practiced by the Canaanites, Persian magi, Neoplatonists, and Pythagoreans. Pythagoras was a pagan sorcerer who set up a dictatorship along Iron Curtain lines, who attributed creative powers to letters and numbers, as does the Jewish Kabbalah. The deviation of Judaism from the Hebraic path into the path of occult paganism meant that a sect was formed whose esoteric teachings for the higher initiates was to be found in the Kabbalah. Naturally, the Babylonian captivity played a big part in this. After the fall of Jerusalem in July 587 BC, Nebuchadnezzar had the city destroyed and a large-scale deportation ensued. Lieutenant General Nechvilodo, in his book Nicholas II and the Jews, on page 139, has the following. The Chaldean science acquired by many of the Jewish priests during the captivity of Babylon gave birth to the sect of the Pharisees, whose name only appears in the Holy Scriptures and in the writings of the Jewish historians after the captivity. From then dates the Kabbalah, or tradition of the Pharisees. For a long time, their precepts were only transmitted orally, but later they formed the Talmud, end of quote. Other sources confirm that the sect first appeared during the period of the Babylonian captivity, for example, the Sciences, Munch, and the Universal Jewish Encyclopedia, 1943 edition, states, although Palestine was the birthplace of Jewish mysticism, the land where the Kabbalah was conceived, it was in Babylonia that it attained its greatest importance. It has already been shown in these tapes that the great heresy of Gnosticism, which is at the heart of Freemasonry, is admittedly Kabbalistic, as the Jewish Encyclopedia makes very clear. Reincarnation, transmigration of souls, is the teaching of the Kabbalah generally. Also included in it, the worship of the sun, the moon, the planets, linked to pagan gods. The occult science of the Jewish Kabbalah, with its Babylonian roots, was in short Luciferian occultism. That Luciferian occultism lives on in Masonry and Marxism. An interesting quotation from Levi is on page 233 of Lady Queenborough's book Occult Theocracy, which states, in founding the new and reformed Palladian Rite, General Pike did not create Masonic occultism. Anderson, de Thaguer, Weishaupt, Swedenborg, Lessing, Frederick II of Prussia, Mesmer, Pernetti, Cagliostro, Martinez Pasqualis, and his disciple San Martin, Francia, the dictator of Paraguay, Lord Palmerston, General Contreras, Mazzini, and many other distinguished Freemasons practiced occultism and worked at the great work of the Kabbalah, end of quote. The great work of the Kabbalah is the gigantic effort coming to a climax very soon of re-establishing the one world pagan government that had once existed in Rome, and before that in Greece, and before that in Babylonia. The Jerusalem Talmud, revised from the 3rd to the 5th century, was named the Babylonian Talmud, and is the one in use to this day. Pharisaism, Talmudic Jews, still live by the Babylonian calendar. The writers of the Talmud try to nullify all the literal meanings of the Bible. Biblical moral laws were reversed by what they claimed were higher meanings, a device that has been used successfully by their Masonic brethren. All the heresies, occult practices, worship of the fallen angel Lucifer, pagan tricks employed by Jewish Kabbalists and their Freemason conspirators for the purpose of dethroning God, are destined to be destroyed and wiped off the face of the earth in the great victory that destroys the reign of the Antichrist. How significant it is that God's great victory is announced by an angel, according to the Bible, coming down from heaven, having great power, and he cries out with a strong voice, Babylon the Great is fallen, Apocalypse chapter 18, verse 2. That fall is great because the occultism that has polluted most of the world is based on the Kabbalah of the Babylonian Talmud. This worldwide corruption by occultism, the religion of Lucifer, is destroyed by the powers of heaven. The Zohar, considered by many as the principal work of the Kabbalah with the use of pornographic sex language, seeks to reduce to nature the whole of life and seeks to deify man. Pan-nature plus theism, godism, gives pantheism, meaning that the sum of nature is God. The Masonic successor to Mazzini, Lemmy, spread the nature cult throughout Italy. It has been spread today throughout many countries, including Ireland, using the environmentalist umbrella. All the heresies that have afflicted the Catholic Church, the mystical body of Christ, have had something of the Talmudic hand behind them. The French scholar Deschamps, in his work, The Secret Societies and Society, 4th edition, 1880, volume 1, page 282, stated, Gnosticism, Manichaeism, the Albigensians and the Templars, these are the sources whence Freemasonry has sprung. And he notes, Jewish influences were active among these heresies. It is interesting that Kubrickus, the founder of Manichaeism, was born in Babylonia around 216 AD. The child, he is said to have been bought as a slave by a rich widow and inherited her wealth. He changed his name to Mani or Manes and proclaimed himself the paraclete promised by Jesus. His followers were known as children of the widow, Manes being known as the son of the widow, a title still used in Masonic lodges. The fundamental doctrine of Manichaeism was dualism, two opposing principles of good and evil, with Manes holding that all matter is absolute evil, the principle of evil is eternal, and that humanity itself is of satanic origin. In his system, Adam and Eve are represented as the offspring of devils. Much of the same idea is expressed by the Jewish Kabbalah, where in the Zohar, Adam is accused of cohabiting with female devils, by which a race of demons were born into the world. Eve is also accused of cohabiting with the serpent. The spreading of the idea that it is necessary to placate the powers of evil would have its roots in this. The magical Kabbalah of the children of Cain reflected the Luciferian belief that Cain was the offspring of Eve and the devil. It is also a Luciferian belief that Satan tempted Eve to partake of the fruit of the tree of knowledge reserved only for a jealous God, so that she could learn occultism, the imbalanced mixture of good and evil. They also believed that God wanted to reserve the process of procreation for himself, so Satan introduced Eve to the illicit pleasures of sex. When the Luciferians celebrate what they call a black mass, the woman on the altar represents Eve and the high priest represents Satan, so that in the black mass they believe they have a reproduction of the seduction of Eve, together with sacrilegious profanation of the sacred species. The New Catholic Encyclopedia under Gnosticism, page 523, has the following. The great and dangerous heresy of the third and subsequent centuries, Manichaeism, is generally regarded as the direct heir of some leading Gnostics. The Abbe Verrouel, in his History of Jacobism, shows a remarkable analogy between the dogmas and rituals of Freemasonry, Templarism, and those of Manichaeism. Grades concur in number, and signs are identical. Manes was crucified and flayed alive by the Persians. The brotherhood in Manichaeism extended only to adepts who sought to avenge the execution of Manes, whom they mourned in a ritual ceremony known as Bima. The term Macbinac, still used in Masonic lodges, was the reminder of the execution of Manes. In a similar way, the extinction of the Knights Templars and the death of Jacques du Molay, their last Grand Master, is intimately connected with the Knight Kadosh degree in Freemasonry, later to become the 13th degree of the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite. The execution of Molay is reenacted in Masonic ceremonies suitable for drumming up hatred for kings and popes. Molay was executed in March 1314. 479 years later, in 1793, when the French King Louis XV was beheaded, One man put his hand in the blood, scattered it over the rabble with the words, "I baptize ye in the name of Jacques de Molay." That evening, a cult ceremony was held in the outskirts of Paris using the blood of the dead king. The skull of Molay is supposed to be a prized relic in Pike's Palladian Temple in Charleston. Being the sort of people that they are, the Masons would not worry too much about what happened to Hugh Molay. What they really mourned was a temporary destruction or setback to the one-world despotic government through the suppression of the Templars and the confiscation of their wealth. The historian Nesta Webster, in her Secret Societies and Subversive Movements, in a chapter on the Templars, page 60, writes about a probable motive of the King of France for suppressing them, being fear of the immense power their wealth conferred. They even defied the king and refused to pay taxes. Webster quotes F. Funk Brentano, Le Moyen Age, page 386. As the Templars had houses in all countries, they practiced the financial operations of the international banks of our times. They were acquainted with letters of change, orders payable at sight. They instituted dividends in annuities and deposited capital, advanced funds, lent on credit, controlled private accounts, undertook to raise taxes for the lay and ecclesiastical seigneurs. End of quote. As Webster notes, through their proficiency in these matters, acquired very possibly from the Jews of Alexandria, whom they must have met in the East, the Templars had become the international financiers and international capitalists of their day. Had they not been suppressed, probably the worst forms of capitalist monopolies and corners would have been inaugurated during the course of the 14th century, since no legislation existed to protect the community at large. Eliphas Levi described the Templars as those terrible conspirators who threatened the whole world with an immense revolution. Their Masonic successors fit that role perfectly. The corruption of the Templars is a sad irony of history. From the beginning of Christianity, powerful forces have been committed to effecting an erosion of Christianity and its culture. After Constantine had made Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire, he incurred the hatred of the powerful pagans of Rome. In their time, the pagan church of Rome controlled the health, education, welfare organizations, and with the fall from power and also with the fall of Rome threatened, most of the fabulous wealth of the pagan priests ended up in the East, where the owners of this wealth made deals with the paganized Luciferian Pharisees, who were the counterpart of the modern Zionists. It was this combination that put Julian the Apostate back as emperor in 361 AD. He ruled for 2 years. His aim was to restore paganism and, significantly, to restore Jewry, with the attempt to rebuild the Temple of Solomon in Jerusalem that was foiled by divine intervention. It was this money source in the East that corrupted the Templars, who had been instrumental in the capture of Jerusalem and had become the bulwark against the Saracens. Some of the leaders of the Templars were corrupted and embraced Gnosticism when they met various occult leaders of the Middle East and saw the vast wealth that they possessed. Many historians claim that the Judeo-Shiite sect of the Assassins was an instrument of corruption of the Templars. The term assassin was derived from the word hashish, Indian hemp, used extensively in securing the evil aims of the assassins. Even then, drugs were a major influence in spreading Satanism. In the 1960s, once again, the combination of the fascination with Eastern mysticism and its offshoots, together with widespread proliferation and use of drugs, would cause the targeted, rapid cultural degeneration of Western civilization. More than the proficiency of the Jews of Alexandria in money matters accompanied returning Templars, some of that Eastern wealth returned with them also, under instructions to turn their temples into banking houses. This collusion that developed between occult forces and bankers would thrive and endure and gain possession of vast tracts of land in Europe, with consequent threat to the established monarchy and the church. The planned program for Europe devised by the occult leaders in the Middle East was to destroy all existing Christian institutions so that the one world pagan government could be once again established as it had once existed in Rome, before that in Greece, before that in Babylonia. King Philip le Bel was one of the good kings who saw the danger and acted on it, while the Pope Clement V did not see it quite as clearly. The danger to the world is much greater today because the New Age movement controls the money of the world, and the aims are the same: to establish a one world government, politically, economically, and religiously controlled. And some of the means for attaining this aim include the widespread use of drugs and the spreading of Eastern mysticism and neo-Gnosticism, with the rapid cultural degeneration that follows from all this, leading to Luciferic initiation for all. To demoralize entire nations, that is the vast program underway for quite a long time, with ever more sophisticated techniques being used. But always drugs and occult Eastern mysticism playing a major role. To achieve that aim, there was always the attack on church and state. Sam Summers, in his History of Witchcraft and Demonology, page 17, has the following: "It must be clearly borne in mind that these heretical bodies, with their endless ramifications, were not merely exponents of erroneous religious and intellectual beliefs by which they morally corrupted all who came under their influence, but they were the avowed enemies of law and order, red-hot anarchists who would stop at nothing to gain their ends. Terrorism and secret murder were their most frequent weapons. The Manichaean system was, in truth, a simultaneous attack upon the church and the state, a desperate but well-planned organization to destroy the whole fabric of society, to reduce civilization to chaos." End of quote. The Templars threatened that same chaos with an immense revolution. The Gnostic Creed salutes the source of that chaos. "I believe," it states, "in the Lord, the God secret and inexpressible, in a star among a group of stars, by whose fire we are generated and to whom we return. A father of life, O mystery of mysteries, his name is Chaos." If the Gnostics changed that father of life to a father of lies, they would at least be expressing truth in that part of their creed. A well-qualified professor of Maynooth, Dr. Edna McDonough, in recent years wrote a book with Chaos in the title. "Order out of Chaos" is a Masonic motto. A famous document addressed to all the supreme councils of Scottish Rite Masonry by Albert Pike was quoted by Masonic writer Dr. Domenico Margiotta in his La Culte de la Natura dans la France Masonnière Universelle, page 51. Part of this document was as follows: "Esoterically, DMJ are the initials of the words destruction, materialism, imposition, which impose destruction of everything which resists materialism. The three points mean that the Masonic work of destruction, materialism, and imposition is triple. Destruction of one, supernaturalism, two, of authority, three, of anti-Masonic activity. Materialism of one, conscience, two, of education, three, of the state. Imposition on one, the family, two, on the nation, three, on humanity. By every means, whatever they may be, one must impose first on the family and then on the nation in order to achieve the aim of imposing on humanity, one, destruction of supernaturalism there where the conscience has not been reached by Masonic materialism, two, the destruction of authority there where education has not been reached by Masonic materialism, three, the destruction of anti-Masonry there where the state has not been reached by Masonic materialism." We can see from this that the Masonic planned chaos is a dream that was shared in their time by the Manichaean sect with their Albigensian offshoot and the Templars. Eliphas Levi, in his History of Magic, wrote of the dream of the Templars thus: "A time came when this dream was an actual menace for the church and state, when a rich and dissolute order initiated into the mysterious doctrines of the Kabbalah seem ready to turn on legitimate authority and turn on the conservative principles of the hierarchy, menacing the entire world with a gigantic revolution. Well now, is not Freemasonry, such as we see it revealed today, the full development of the plans of Manes, the canonization of Manichaeism as achieved by Albert Pike, sovereign pontiff of universal Freemasonry? Is it not also the full development of what Jack de Molay and the Templars tried to achieve? Both Manes and Jack de Molay are remembered in rites of the Masonic lodges. The common denominator for Manichaean, Templar, Mason is the Gnosticism, the occultism of the Jewish Kabbalah. As Pike wrote in his Morals and Dogma, Masonry is a search after light. The search leads us directly back, as you see, to the Kabbalah. Kabbalah alone consecrates the alliance of the universal reason and the divine word. Everything scientific and grand in the religious dreams of all the Illuminati is borrowed from the Kabbalah. All the Masonic associations owe to it their secrets and their symbols. Lucifer, the son of the morning, it is he who bears the light. So it all leads to the devil. Dr. Domenico Margiotto, who is a 33-degree Mason, in his book Adriano Lemmy, page 97, wrote that Albert Pike, in revealing the Luciferian cult of his Palladian lodges, quote, had only specified and unveiled the dogmas of the high grades of all other masonries, for no matter what rite, the great architect of the universe is not the god worshipped by the Christians. The supreme object of all Masonic sects is the suppression by a terrible social upheaval of the religion of God and its substitution by that of Satan, known to the dupes of Masonry as the great architect of the universe. It is abundantly clear that the words of Pope Leo XIII condemning and warning against Freemasonry in his encyclical L'Alto del Apostolico of October 15, 1890 are relevant today. The pontiff wrote, It is needless now to put the Masonic sects upon their trial. They are already judged. Their ends, their means, their doctrines, and their action are all known with indisputable certainty. Possessed by the spirit of Satan, whose instrument they are, they burn like him with a deadly and implacable hatred of Jesus Christ and of his work, and they endeavor by every means to overthrow and fetter it. End of quote. In his Humanum Genus, Pope Leo XIII said, Freemasons, like the Manichaeans of old, strive as far as possible to conceal themselves. Also, he said, the craft's ultimate purpose is the utter overthrow of that whole religious and political order of the world which the Christian teaching has produced, and also to substitute the manners and customs of the pagans for the religion and the church which God himself has established is such an insane and wicked endeavor, we may almost see the implacable hatred and spirit of revenge with which Satan himself is inflamed against Jesus Christ. The encyclical letter Humanum Genus was published on April 20, 1884. The spirit of Satan was certainly unleashed, and all that followed in war and revolution and thereafter madden this 20th century. All that has happened along these lines has been orchestrated by Masonic Marxist power as necessary steps in the progress towards a climax that would see Lucifer unveiled with Luciferic initiation forced on an enslaved world. This aim is openly presented in what is termed New Age literature. Take, for example, the book of New Age guru Benjamin Cream, titled The Reappearance of the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom, published in 1980. In this book, the author says the Master Jesus will take over the throne of St. Peter in Rome. But he's actually referring to Lucifer, not Jesus Christ. He goes on, the true apostolic succession will begin. This event is now imminent following the declaration of the Christ. It is more than likely that the present Pope John Paul II will be the last. The new religion will be manifest, for instance, through organizations like Masonry, In Freemasonry is embedded the core or the secret heart of the occult mysteries, end of quote. The spread of this so-called new religion, occult mysteries, satanic religion, is in reality Lucifer playing his last card because he knows the scriptures, he knows the sign of the times, he knows that his time is very nearly up, and he seeks the greatest possible harvest of souls to accompany him to hell. Why else would the Mother of God come down from heaven to Fatima in 1917, when the October Revolution was about to break out in Russia, and warn the world through three small children to whom she showed a fleeting vision of hell? Indeed, out of Russia came Helena Blavatsky to found the Theosophical Society in 1875, from which the occult mysteries have mushroomed. She had been initiated into the Carbonari by Mazzini in 1856, and according to the Mason John Yarker, she was also an initiate of the Order of the Druzes. The Druzes, originally driven from Egypt, took refuge in the Lebanon. The Druzes are a Gnostic sect with esoteric doctrines. The United Druzes and Commanders of Lebanon are Masonic degrees. In 1887, when Blavatsky settled in London, she started a theosophical magazine called Lucifer the Lightbringer. Later, it was deemed prudent to change the name to the Theosophist. In 1907, Fabian, Annie Besant, became president of the Theosophical Society, with the objective of a world government and a world religion. It was formed an alliance between Mrs. Besant's co-masonry and the Masonic Grand Orient of France. The most important offshoot of the Theosophical Society was the Luchas Trust, founded in 1922. The Lucifer Publishing Company became Luchas Publishing Company. It publishes the writings of the important Alice Bailey. Her writings have been followed meticulously by the New Age movement, and together with the writings of Blavatsky formed the New Age Bible. The Nazi theme of Aryan purity of blood is found throughout the Alice Bailey books. And as we know, ethnic cleansing is quite an issue in the world of 92. Madame Blavatsky was awarded a high Masonic diploma. A reproduction of it was published in the Theosophist of March 1913, reproduced again on page 66 of Freemasonry Universal, Volume 5, Part 2, Autumn Equinox, 1929. With the spread of Theosophy, amalgamation of Jewish Kabbalah magic and Hindu magic swept over Europe. Louis Jacquillo, in his work Occult Science in India, has stated, "An intimate connection exists between the doctrine of the ancient Jewish Kabbalists and those of the Hindu votaries of the Pitris or spirits." That opinion is confirmed by the Jewish Encyclopedia, 1905, where, when dealing with the Zohar, the principal work of the Kabbalites, states, "It is necessary to ascertain where and when the Jews became intimately acquainted with the Hindu philosophy, which more than any other exercised an influence on the Zohar. Buddhism plays its part in New Age occultism too." Two members of Blavatsky's Theosophical Society, Anna Kingsford and Edward Maitland, founded the Hermetic Society in 1884, later to become known as the Esoteric Christian Union, advocating a Gnostic mixture of Christianity and Buddhism. For them, as for Blavatsky, Jesus is not the historical Jesus Christ, but just one of many Christs, an initiate, one of the masters, reincarnating through the ages, who have developed certain superior powers latent in all men, like serpent power or kundalini, the sex force. By pretending that Christianity can be associated with this rubbish, Christianity is attacked with Gnostic subversions, tempting Christians to discover their so-called latent powers by involvement in New Age pantheistic occultism, leading to the usual Gnostic belief that man is God. In today's New Age parlance, it is termed man having a God within. The reality is they end up with a devil within. As the English poet William Blake put it, "Man must and will have religion. If he has not the religion of Jesus, he will have the religion of Satan, and will erect a synagogue of Satan." The most serious crime wave of the 90s is the spread of Satanism. A criminologist's report indicated that in Western Europe, approximately one in five of the murders committed in current periods are the work of Satanists. It is estimated that approximately 85% of school-age youth in West Germany have been exposed to Satanist activities. In the USA, commitment to break all of God's Ten Commandments is a key feature of the pacts with the devil, which increasing number of children are signing. Around 1980 in Ireland, a friend of mine asked a progressive curate of his parish, "Why are my children not being taught the Ten Commandments?" And the answer he got was, "I should hope that we are gone beyond that sort of thing. How far we have progressed, thanks to our liberal churchmen, is a really frightening prospect today." Anton LaVey founded his Church of Satan in San Francisco in 1966, and in 1967 this Church of Satan was accepted as a bona fide religion. Now, LaVey's Satanic Bible has sold over 1 million copies. A full Navy honor guard was present at a satanic funeral of a U.S. Navy seaman in that church. The U.S. government, in its Forces Chaplain's Handbook, as a section for the needs of members of the armed forces who are part of the Church of Satan. Another satanic cult in the USA is the Temple of Set, headed by Army Colonel Michael Aquino, heavily into the witchcraft of the Nazi Third Reich. Aquino leads pilgrimages to Himmler's SS castle in Germany in order to absorb occult influences. The Temple of Set circulates a document which traces its spiritual roots to Aleister Crowley and the Freemasons. Aleister Crowley was infamous for his outrageous advocacy of child sacrifice, Moloch worship, copious use of narcotics, and deviant sex. LaVey's Satanic Bible has a chapter called On the Choice of a Human Sacrifice. A third satanic church spawned in London in 1963, the Process Church of the Final Judgment, has itself spawned several dangerous cults, including the terrible Charles Manson family. That church's prophecy is "Thou shalt kill." They hold that Christ and Satan have joined forces to bring to an end despair in the world. They claim that Christ was employing Satan and his followers as hitmen, so worshipping Satan was akin to worshipping Christ, and killing in the name of Satan was actually killing for Christ, a divine mission. This will hasten the end, and all wrongs will be set right. This has been fed to adolescents in movies, videos, and TV. Widespread circulation of drugs added to this indoctrination could produce a simmering volcano that on eruption would contribute greatly to that terrible social upheaval that is the aim of all the Masonic sects. Luciferic chaos, indeed, is behind it all. As Pope Leo XIII said, possessed by the spirits of Satan, whose instrument they are, their ultimate purpose is the utter overthrow of that whole religious and political order of the world. That ultimate purpose they would surely hope to achieve through the ultimate evil, the process of satanizing Christ, and that is the process church. A criminal intelligence report of May 1988 in America reported that a satanic organization known as the Process Church of the Final Judgment claims that it has received a startling revelation. The conflict between Christ and Satan was overcome by a reconciliation, and there is now a unity between the two, what they termed heavenly brothers. Christ has admitted a kind of defeat, and that indeed his brother's ways are much more suitable for primitive humans. This has a bearing on the Luciferian doctrine that claims that the good God was Lucifer and that Christ was the devil and was responsible for the evils afflicting this world. This is the Gnosticism marked with the seal of Lucifer, that is the mother of Freemasonry. In America, the National Criminal Justice Task Force on Occult-Related Ritualistic Crimes issued a publication to warn the public. This document bore the names and authority of 15 men, five of whom were sheriffs, two chief of police, plus chief investigators, probation officers, etc. This document states that the New Age movement is the sophisticated level of Satanism and that its tentacles are global, and that the New Age doctrine is expressed in these basic areas: occultism, Eastern mysticism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Kabbalism, etc., psychology, mind power, positive thinking as reality, self-gratification, sex, drugs, pleasure and comfort, entertainment, TV, movies, video, certain types of music, science and technology, computers, weapons, space, evolution, a theory of creation presented as fact, pantheism, worshipping the planet as God and spiritus. The document states that to New Agers, God is an impersonal force in Sof of the Kabbalah, residing in Mother Earth, the sun, moon, stars, and all of nature. Consequently, nature can be worshipped, but there is great play on the Earth Goddess. They are convinced that the murder of a standard moral code is an act of love for the planet. Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, Confucius, and others are frequently called ascended masters or masters of the universe. Heaven is not distinguished and hell does not exist. Destructive mental images are fed into the minds of millions through New Age films, TV and videos, Star Wars, E.T., occultism, magic, etc. The buzzwords of the New Age include Mother Earth, self-transformation, spirit guide, psychic energy, transcendental meditation, self-hypnosis, mind power, aura, body rainbow, crystals, astrology, zodiac signs, the tarot, palmistry, channeling, inner path, visualization, karma, subliminal programming, astral projection, rebirth, reincarnation, spiritualism, holistic health, psychic surgery, acupuncture, yoga, community, the planetary agencies, UFO. According to the document, all these concepts in some way have a connection with the Earth Goddess theme. It is a conspiracy with a vast, efficient, functioning network to bring in a new world order. They believe and teach that all paths lead to God, even the worship of Satan himself. This, of course, shows that the processed Church of the Final Judgment is part of the New Age scheme, with the so-called New Theology of Reconciliation of Christ and Satan. According to the document, this teaching swept the nation and spawned several dangerous cults, including Charles Manson and his family. The dangers are evident from this teaching of the processed Church. Through love, Christ and Satan have destroyed their enmity and come together in the end, Christ to judge and Satan to execute the judgment. This blasphemous jargon, Christ and Satan coming together, was put out as a feeler on Irish television in November 92 on The Late Late Show, where the actor Peter Ustinov announced that he had a book coming out and in it his belief that a reconciliation had been effected between Christ and Satan would be dealt with. But the Irish television audience were not told that Peter Ustinov, until recently, was president of one of the leading proponents of the New Age One World Order, the World Association for World Federation, that recently changed its name to the World Federalist Movement. It published in 1991 a New World Order seeking full-fledged world government. A former leading New Ager, Randall Baer, who converted to Christianity, revealed in his book Inside the New Age Nightmare that the New Age agenda is nothing less than the complete revolutionizing of the very foundations of not only America but the entire world, resulting in the restructuring of civilization into an enlightened one world federation in which national boundaries and sovereignty are secondary and planetary citizenship in the global village is the order of the day. This is to offer a world in desperate need a grand solution to profound global problems, apparent world peace, and unprecedented opportunities for actualizing the human God potential, i.e. New Age higher consciousness. Randall Baer adds, "Herein lies the Antichrist's last temptation offered to all the world." It has been said that Randall Baer mysteriously died the week that his book was to be released in 1989. The people who proposed the solution to profound global problems would, of course, have deliberately caused those problems in the best traditions of the Illuminati. At the Worldview 84 Congress, sponsored by the World Future Society in 1984, they spoke of transforming nation-states into a new world order through what they called management by crisis, when at a moment of critical instability, the nation-states would collapse and networking groups would form a replacement society. Any plans for the collapse of industrialized nations is always proposed to New Age followers as being the only means left to save the planet, whereas reality is much more sinister. What they are aiming at is a new world order based on a cashless society. Computerized credit cards for all would make it possible not only to monitor all individual financial transactions, but also individual physical locations and movements. Holy Scripture has warned us. He, the Antichrist, compelled everybody, small and great, rich and poor, slave and citizen, to be branded on the right hand or on the forehead. Made it illegal for anyone to buy or sell anything unless he had been branded with the name of the beast or with the number. Apocalypse chapter 13, 16, 17. Randall Bear was correct in bringing the Antichrist into this picture.